1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. This is concerning the resurrection. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. The single most important event to ever take place in the history of the world was not when the Bulls won the championship multiple times. Was it? It wasn't when some great team outdone another team. It wasn't when some hero won some certain battle. When we think about great events, we go back in history and we look at all the great events that happens, that has happened. But the greatest event that ever took place in the history of the world was and still is the death, burial, and namely the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Can't get around it. He died, He was buried, and He rose again according to the Scriptures. The second most important event that is yet to happen is the return of Christ Jesus. And at His return, there will be another resurrection. Another resurrection. The dead will rise, according to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. It tells us that on that day, some will still be alive and will be transformed. And that graves will not be able to hold the bodies, that they will have to forfeit or give up the bodies that are inside of them. This is hard to understand and hard to fathom. It can be somewhat of a mystery for the mind to wrap itself around, because we see people in the finality of death and we see them go into the ground. And it is troubling for the heart. It's troubling to see a loved one go into the ground. But how precious is it going to be when we see them come back out? I want you to think about it for just a minute. How precious will it be when those graves will actually burst open and the dead will be transformed and will come out alive? You think about the cemeteries and you think about those and the sea. It even says that the sea will give up the dead. The power of the resurrection, when the Lord comes back to receive His children, they will rise. I don't care what type of death that they had. They will rise. And this is the separating factor between the Christian faith and all other religions. Right here. That Jesus Christ rose from the dead. This is the separating factor between what we believe as Christians and what the world believes. The one we worship actually died. That means his heart quit beating. Air left his body. He was dead. Why did he die? He died on a cross for our sins. It's what killed him. It was his love for us that held him there. That stripped his life away from him. According to the Scriptures, he died. And according to the Scriptures, we know that he was actually buried in an empty tomb. And that tomb was sealed up. According to the Scriptures, we know that after it was sealed up, that the Jews didn't want it to get out, so they guarded it with everything that they had. But But they couldn't stop him from raising on the third day, could they? He was going to rise. And it didn't matter how they sealed the tomb. It did not matter how many guards they put there. Jesus Christ was going to be raised from the dead. And in fact, it happened. And because he rose, he promises to raise us up on that last great day as well. And this is something that I take great comfort in. Without the resurrection, we don't have the great hope that we have in Christ Jesus right now. Without it. I mean, without the resurrection, then everything that we're doing is just wrong. It's for nothing. Because of the resurrection, we have great hope. We have great joy. It depends on who you talk to and who you look at while you're preaching or while you're in your common day with people. But those that trust in Jesus should have great joy. And it's because of the resurrection that we can have this. Because of the resurrection, we have great promises. Great promises. Promises that are actually truth. It's true. The Word of God, the promises that's given and contained inside of it are true. That those that die in Christ Jesus will absolutely 110% rise from the dead. This earthly tabernacle that is infested and full of sin will perish. But when we rise, we will put on something of the likes we have never seen before. It will be glorified. It'll be glorious. It'll be like Christ when He rose. It won't be a body that's fit for destruction. But it'll be a body that is glorified. This tabernacle will fade away. This flesh will fade away. And I'm thankful for that because I'm 38. And every day that I get up, as I get older, and I don't believe myself to be that old. But my kids tell me that I am. Anna told me the other day, she said, "Dad, it's because you're getting old." Jerry tells me that old is only 10 years over you or over the current age that you are. And so every day that I get up and I feel an ache or a pain, it's just the truth that the tabernacle that we live in is going to fail us. It's more than likely not going to get prettier as you get older. It's going to get uglier. You understand what I'm telling you? And it's because of sin. But praise God that when we rise with the Lord in the last day, that won't be the case. We will have a different body. It will not creak and it will not hurt. It will not pop when you bend down and can't get back up. My knees, I don't know what happened. And it just happened like 5 years ago. They started popping. And it is part of the curse. And it's part of death. It comes to us all. But we will be, and Willie Mays, like, I got the bursitis and all the itises. But we will be transformed. And this is the beauty of the resurrection. We will be transformed and it will be an imperishable body. It will be an undefiable body. It will not be able to be polluted with sin anymore. Praise God this morning that we will not be consumed and not be bugged with sin anymore. The battle that we fight with sin on a... Does anybody fight a battle with sin on a daily basis? If you do, please raise your hand. if you really do raise both in one foot. Because sin is something that if you're a child of God, it is going to come after you with everything it's got. Like a rabid dog, man. And it wants to haunt you down and it wants to kill you. But in the resurrection, there will be no more sin. In the resurrection, there will be no more hatred in the heart. There will be no more greed in the heart, no more idolatry, no more lust, no more any of those things that haunt us on a daily basis. From the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, these things are constantly on us. From the world to Satan to flesh, it is always on top of us, man. And it is a relentless battle that we have to stand guard against. But in the resurrection, all of that will be gone. We will have a body that is imperishable, and we will have a body that is undefiled in the resurrection. Our bodies will be glorified. Our bodies will be perfect. All the itises will be gone.
Amen. Praise God.
The sin will be gone.
Yes, yes.
And truly, the only way we will be able to lay eyes on our perfect Savior, the only way that we will be able to behold Him as He is to be glorified. That's it.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
In our natural self, we cannot do that. We have to be perfect as well. And we know that comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we know that that will come in the last day when we are raised to new life. The book of Job, one of the oldest writings in the entire Bible, which we believe even predates the book of Moses. Moses wrote, we know, the first five books of the Bible. We know that Job was there during the days of the patriarchs, is what some people believe, and I do as well. And Job writes, and he writes a huge book, man, about what happened to him. In chapter 14, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Job, because I want you to see what Job says about sin and about the resurrection. Job chapter 14. If you can find Psalms, it's one book before that. Chapter 14. And before I begin to read, the reason why I'm reading this particular passage of Scripture is because of how old it is. Because I want us to see this morning that the resurrection is not some New Testament concept. It just isn't. The resurrection, in fact, is mentioned all through throughout the Old Testament. And when we see the book of Job, one of the first books written, we see it mentioned. But before we see it mentioned, we see man's life. And I want you to look at what it says in chapter 14 of the book of Job. We see the wickedness of man. And the days of his life limited. The days of his life limited because of sin. Do you know that each and every one of us, our days will be limited because of sin that entered the world with Adam and Eve? Can anybody testify to that this morning? If it weren't for them, we would live forever. You say, well, I wouldn't have done it. Yes, you would have, and you would have done worse than that. So don't say that, because you would have. I hear people all the time, well, them sorry suckers, they should have never done that. I wouldn't do it. Yeah, you would have. If you're born of the flesh of a woman, which we all in here are, despite what people say today, which is crazy, don't get me on something else, I'm sorry. Let me stay with this, John, Job 14. Listen to what it says. Let me just go back to the scripture before I get off on something here. 14:1, man who is born of a woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. We know that everybody in here is born of a woman. I have a mama. I came from her. My children came from their mama, and so on and so forth. But the scripture says, man and woman, either way, who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. And the reason why it's short-lived and full of turmoil is because of sin. Not because of the righteousness that they're born with, because we, none of us are. Job, thousands of years ago, he's preaching here. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He's talking about the brevity of life and how short it is and the finality of it. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. Thou also dost open thine eyes on him and bring him into judgment with thyself. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one, Job says. Job is preaching and he is telling the people, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They come into this world and they're going to go out of this world, and it is wickedness that they come into. Thou also dost open thine eyes on him and bring him into judgment with thyself. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with thee, and his limits thou hast set so that he cannot pass. He says, the Lord knows your days. He knows your time card. He knows when you're punching out. You're not going to gain a day. You're not going to take one away. He knows it all. Says, turn thy gaze from him that he may rest until he fulfills his day like a hired man. For there is hope for a tree when it is cut down that it will sprout again. I've cut a tree down before, and right out in the middle of that dude, or on the side of it, another sprout will come out. Not the case with man. When he is dead, he is dead. This is what Job is saying. You cut that crepe myrtle in front of the church back, and you cut it back to the nub, and you know what's going to come out? Crepe myrtle. But not me. You cut me down and kill me, I'm not coming back until the resurrection. And we're going to see what Job says about that. Listen to what it says. Verse 8. Though its roots grow old in the ground and its stump dies in the dry soil, at the scent of water it will flourish and put forth sprigs like a plant. But man dies and lies prostrate. Man expires, and where is he? As water evaporates from the sea, and a river becomes parched and dried up, so man lies down and does not rise until, listen to what he says, until man, listen, verse 12, so man lies down and does not rise until the heavens be no more. He will not awake nor be aroused out of his sleep. Job is saying here in this passage in chapter 14 that man is wicked, ruined, and undone. His days are limited, they are counted, and his end will be death until the heavens open up, until the Lord returns. Turn with me to the book of Job in chapter 19. I want you to see what it says. This is a very well-known passage of Scripture. Job realized that the earned wages of sin is ultimately death. And there was few like him. He was a righteous man. Job was a champion for heaven in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3 against the enemy. He was a righteous man. But Job realized that the earned wages of sin is ultimately death. However, just like in 14 when we see where, or 14 where we see about the heavens here in chapter 19, we're going to see, and he's going to expound on that just a little bit more. Keep in mind how old the book of Job is. Keep in mind that it's one of the first writings of Scripture. And thousands of years ago, Job believed in the resurrection of the dead. Keep in mind as we read this. You know, death then was still like death today, right? Has it changed any?
No.
Abraham or Adam and all them fellas, they lived to be up in their 900s, but did they die? Yep, they did. So death is death, whether it's back then or now. And so listen to what Job says in chapter 19, 25 through 27. He says, in fact, there is hope for those that pass. For the Old Testament saints, for the New Testament believers, there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says in verse 25. And as for me, Job 19:25, and as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. Can anybody testify to that this morning and get an amen? Please, somebody testify and give me an amen on that. Can you testify that your Redeemer lives? You know, here's the deal. To be able to do that means that you have had to put your trust in one that rose from the dead. One that is alive again. So can you say that this morning? And as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And then Job says this. And at the last day, in the end of time, he will take his stand on the earth. Job is speaking a lot here. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the last day, we're going to see him. He's going to take his stand on this earth. And then he says this in verse 26, and I love it. Because this is the same thing that's happened to us when we die and this flesh, this tabernacle goes to the ground. It's still the same. Job experienced this. Listen to what he says. Even after my skin is destroyed. You know, we do a lot to try to keep our skin in good shape, don't we? Even facelifts nowadays. People pulling their heads back because they want their face to look like they were 22 or 33 or whatever. But it's going to sag. Yes. Do we understand that? And one day the flesh will rot off the bones. Yes. Do we understand that? Yes. Yes. Nelson may be the only person I know that don't have the wrinkles at 85. But what you need to see here is what Job is talking about. He says, after my skin is destroyed, all of our skin will be destroyed. I don't care how much oatmeal baths and tomato baths and cucumbers you put on your forehead, whatever you do, I don't care. You are going to go back to the dust. But listen to what Job says. After my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh, I shall see God. He says, after it's destroyed, there's coming a day where I will be resurrected. And when I am resurrected, it'll be a new body and I will see the Lord. Job is preaching about the resurrection. Verse 27, he says, whom I myself shall behold and whom my eyes. Look at me, guys. Everybody look. My eyes. Job not only talks about a resurrection, but he talks about something, a glorified body. And that glorified body is going to have eyes that will be able to behold the Lord as He is. We can't behold Him as He is right now. I praise God that we're going to have glorified bodies. Because when we do, we will be able to behold Him as He is. 27 says, whom I myself shall behold, whom my eyes shall see, and not another. I love how he ends verse 27 because he says this. He says, my eyes shall behold the Lord. They're not going to be turned to somebody else. They're not going to be seeking after other things. They're not going to be going here and going there. Their sole purpose and their sole attention is going to be faced on the Lord God Almighty. Shall see and not another, is what he says. And this truth of the resurrection is one of the oldest truths in the Scriptures. And it's been a type of cornerstone for all believers all the way through history. From Job to Abraham. You know, Abraham believed in the resurrection. You better believe that Isaac did when he laid down on that altar, that the Lord was able to raise him back up again. You better believe that Jacob believed in the resurrection all the way to David. David prophesies about the resurrection in Psalms in chapter 22, how he gives the dreadful sight of the crucifixion 1,000 years before it happens. In verse 22 of 22, he then testifies about how the Lord would come back and praise. And how awesome it would be when the Lord would come back. You see it in Daniel. You see it in Ezekiel. You see it over and over and over in the book of Isaiah, which they call the fifth gospel. The central theme of the gospel message is that Jesus Christ died and He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. You know, Jesus was actually dead. And a lot of times people think, well, He was just a ghost. You know, He was there, but He really wasn't. But no, He was actually dead. You know, people went to the tomb where He was at, behind the stone where He was at, and people cried. Do you realize that? People mourned the loss of Jesus Christ. You ever mourn the loss of someone? Well, we all have. People went to the tomb and mourned the loss. You see it in the gospel accounts. The ladies that came, they were mourning because Jesus had died. He was actually dead. Actually gone. They cried over His passing. The religious elite tried to do everything that they could do to guard the tomb where the dead body of our Lord was. Why would they guard the tomb if Jesus really didn't die? No, they guarded the tomb. The Jews did not want Jesus to come out of the ground. They did not want the stone rolled away. That's why they set their seal upon it. That's why they stopped it up. That's why they set the guard there, the watch there. Why? Because He was actually dead. But just as He actually died, He actually and truly rose again on the third day. The Lord's Day. The first day of the week. The day after the Sabbath. Sunday morning. The Lord rose from the dead. And He did it on our behalf. And I praise God for Him for that this morning. Because Christ rose from the dead, why don't y'all just give Him about another 10 or 15 minutes for just a minute. Because Christ rose from the dead, the Word of God will accomplish what it is set out to do. You know the passage of Scripture in the book of Isaiah that says the Word of God will go out and it'll accomplish what it has set out to do. Well, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then everything's void. Then we don't have any promises and we don't have any covenants. We don't have any hope. And everything that we're doing is in vain. But because He rose, it's not. Y'all got that? Because Christ rose from the dead, our faith is precious. It has value. It has meaning. If He didn't rise, then our faith would be pointless. Because Christ rose from the dead where He conquered sin and death, we know that by trusting in Him, we are not still in our sins. According to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Do you know what it would be like to be still in your sins? I can remember what it was like to have the burden of sin on my life before Jesus took it. There ain't enough money in the world to get me to go back to that burden. Ain't enough money in the world that you could offer me to go back to what the conviction was like when the Lord told me that I was a sinner. The Scripture teaches us in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, because of the resurrection, that we are not still in our sins. And because of the resurrection, that death has no hold over us. We don't have to be fearful of death. There are so many people that are fearful of COVID-19. Some, I think it's an excuse to not come to church and to not get out. Amen. Well, it got quiet, didn't it? Oh, wow. But if we have hope in Christ, why would we be fearful of COVID-19?
Amen.
Think about it. If you have an argument with it, come to me after church. Because see, the Scripture teaches us that we can look death in the face and laugh at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's lost its sting. It has lost its victory. And to be absent from the body is present with the Lord.
Yeah.
Am I lying or am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
Death will have no hold on us in the last day. So whether we die now and with the Lord, or whether we die, or whether the Lord comes back and we go to be with Him, we're still going to be with Him. I'm not done. As Christians, we praise the Lord for this blessed truth of the resurrection. However, just as there is this blessed truth of the resurrection for those that love Jesus, for the just, if you will, there will also be a resurrection for the wicked. Am I telling the truth or am I not? See, we can testify as Christians to the truth of the resurrection. But we also know we can't leave out the other part of the resurrection. Because Daniel testifies to it. And let's see what Daniel says. And the reason why I'm using Old Testament prophets, because I want you to see, it's quite easy to go to the New Testament and find the resurrection. It's all over the place. But it's quite another thing to go into the Old Testament thousands of years ago and to say, okay, what's it say about it? So let's see what Daniel says about it in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. It tells us clearly, clearly. You don't have to turn there. If you want to, you're more than welcome. It tells us clearly this: and many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. Those to everlasting life. Do you hear that? Daniel says, those to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Daniel says, not only will the just rise, but the unjust will rise as well. And what a terrible day it will be for the unjust. So with this joyous truth of the resurrection, we have this terrible truth that comes forward too. And it's terrible, guys. It is awful to think about those that hate the Lord, those that go against the Lord, that they will raise from the dead. They will have bodies fitted for destruction. I'm not talking about to protect them from hell. I'm talking about that makes them eternal so they continue to burn in hell. This is the truth of the resurrection. Some will go to heaven and some will go to hell. And as the day gets closer and closer to our Lord's return, this has to be present and in the forefront of our minds. There will be bodies for hell. There will be bodies for destruction. Bodies built for devastation and eternal punishment. There's a resurrection for the just, and there's a resurrection for the unjust. In other words, there's two places. You're either going to the one or the other. This morning, we don't have to make the resurrection of our Lord Jesus complicated. We don't have to make it complicated. It's very simple. Scripture teaches us that He did in fact rise from the dead. And we praise God for that this morning. The Scripture teaches us, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means we can look death square in the face and shout in joy and be triumphant over it, because Jesus Christ has already went there and done that for us. Plain and simple. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, as I'm done, this morning, I praise Him and I thank Him for raising from the dead on my behalf, that I may be justified just as if I never sinned, that I could stand before the Lord God Almighty. And it's all because of what Christ Jesus did when He came out of the tomb. So we thank Him this morning. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.